Welcome to the first of what we hope to be an ongoing series of mini lectures presented by Pensacola Junior College faculty. In this session, Dr. Brian Rucker, professor of history at PJC since 1996, will be sharing a very interesting and very entertaining view of the Pensacola area as recorded by an early 20th century resident. Professor Rucker has authored a number of books and articles on the Pensacola area. He also teaches two very popular courses at PJC, American History to 1877 and American History from 1877, in which he often incorporates the kind of original source material presented here. So without further delay, please welcome Dr. Brian Rucker.
Thanks for the introduction, Bill. One of the great historical and literary treasures of West Florida is Frazier Franklin Bingham. In the early 1900s, Bingham was a prosperous Pensacola businessman and an accomplished writer. Every summer, he would take his wife and seven children on a 21-foot cabin cruiser and explore West Florida's bays and inlets. These logs were eventually edited and published as Log of the People Day, Summer Cruises in West Florida Waters, 1912 to 1915. They capture perfectly a West Florida poised between the frontier and the modern age, and his descriptions offer glimpses of a bygone age before development. For instance, Bingham described East River in Santa Rosa County in 1915. Commencing at the mouth, the first mile or two is tidewater with little current. Above that, the water is clear and there is a strong current. The water has a beautiful garnet cast, and the masses of water plants in all shades of green swaying in the current many feet below is a sight to behold. The riverbanks are mostly a jungle of cypress, juniper, bay, water oaks, and magnolias, covered with climbing vines and choked with blooming honeysuckle, spider lilies, ladies' pocketbooks, and many other flowers unlike anything we had ever seen. There was an abundance of bird life about us, including hawks, eagles, and cranes. We saw crane nests high in the tops of dead pines as big as piano boxes. I do not believe Theodore Roosevelt's River of Doubt is a bit wilder or more tropical. Had a troop of noisy monkeys suddenly swung themselves out of the treetops across the channel and blocking our way, like the pictures in the geographies, we would hardly have been surprised. An anchor on East Bay, Bingham's Victrola attracted the local mullet fishermen. He writes, "We had quite a crowd of callers aboard last night, until 10 o'clock. We ran the Victrola almost continuously. Tipperary is the favorite song. Once after Tipperary had been played four times in succession, one of our visitors sighed and said, 'If I own thy ar machine and thy ar Tipperary piece, I playin' and playin' till it was done wore out, and then I just sat there and look at it.'" In 1913, the Bingham family visited the Garson Point Peninsula. Bingham writes, "I went to the head of Indian Bayou this morning and returning called on one of the lords of the land. He gave us a lot of interest in local information, and we are very much impressed with his story of how he recently called the hand of a bad neighbor who turned a lot of hogs into a pasture that he was in charge of while he was sick, sending him a message at the time that he, said the bad man, had turned in those hogs and that he, the sick man, had best not turn them out or there would be a shooting. Our friend said he didn't say anything until he was good and well, and then he took his shotgun, drove those hogs out of the pasture, and went to the bad man's house and delivered this message. 'Tell that so-and-so that I have droven his hogs out in that pasture, and I've come to the shooting. If he comes out in that door, I'll fill him as full of buckshot as a watermelon is full of seed.' The reply was that Mr. So-and-so was not at home. Said our friend, continuing, 'I knew he was at home, but I let it go at that. You see, I'm a peaceable man.' The next day, we had a caller, our friend of yesterday. He was carrying a shotgun and showed the children a pocket full of buckshot shells. The missus got quite friendly with him, and he entertainingly related portions of his life's history. Asked what he expected to shoot at this season of the year, he replied, rather enigmatically, that he was going down across Indian Bayou to see the preacher, and that he might get a chance to blow the rust out of his gun. The children wondered if the preacher ever done anything to our friend of the shotgun. That very same year, Bingham described Escambia Bay looking across from the Garson Point Peninsula. "The bay is a beautiful sight just now, in all shades of yellow, green, and blue, with splotches of white here and there where the waves break. A schooner is beating down the bay, close-hauled, with a big bone in her teeth like a liner. It is interesting, too, to watch the cloud shadows sweep across the bay, climb the heights on the other side and disappear in the wilderness beyond. Another side is to watch the trains of the Pensacola Atlantic Railroad on the other side of the bay. Coming from the west, the first we see of them is a little ball of smoke, apparently the size of a pinhead, that hangs motionless against the bold headland in the neighborhood of Magnolia Bluff. A few minutes later, we can see an object that looks like a caterpillar with a hooded head, and the body seems to creep out from under the hood, which is nothing more than smoke. At times, the hood shows a gleam of white. It is hard to realize that with that little gleam, a locomotive whistle has sounded a deafening blast, for we hear nothing. Now the insect seems to move a trifle faster, and occasionally, in the neighborhood of Bohemia, disappears from view for minutes at a time. Now it is directly across the bay from us, 3 miles away, but we can hardly distinguish it from the blue-green hillsides beyond it until the Escambia Bridge is reached. The bridge at this distance looks like number 8 black thread. The caterpillar unerringly connects with the end of this thread and for the next 10 minutes crawls steadily eastward. If it is calm, we hear a low rumble. At the end of the 3 mile bridge, we can hear a locomotive whistle toned down to a whisper, and then we know that it's not a caterpillar, but a real train, and that the engineer is blowing for the town of Mulat. 30 minutes have elapsed since we saw the ball of smoke, and you feel like pinching yourself and saying, "Wake up, Nemo." These descriptions being left behind are glimpses of a West Florida that no longer exists, but thankfully, this world has been kept intact through his prose.